Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in. Hour number three, Wednesday edition, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Encourage all of you to go subscribe to the podcast. Help us set a new record in December as we roll into a new month. Everybody gets ready for the holiday season. Merry Christmas early on to you. We're going to be playing a lot of Christmas music sooner rather than later, I know, in and out of breaks. Get everybody in the holiday spirit. You can search out my name, Clay Travis. You can search out Buck Sexton's name. You can make sure you don't miss a single minute of the show. We talked with Shannon Bream right outside of the Supreme Court as there has been a major case dealing with Mississippi's attempt to restrict abortions to those that are occurring in the first 15 weeks of a pregnancy. Lots of analysis and discussion about that. I encourage you to go check out Hour 1 and Hour 2. But as we begin Hour 3, Buck Sexton, we have got some breaking news. Not really a surprise. It was inevitable. But we have our first Omicron case here in the United States. It has been identified in California. And it's a breakthrough case, Buck. The person who has got the new variant that was first identified in South Africa had been doubly vaccinated. They are not in any sort of substantial health-related issue, but they have now tested positive. We have identified the first case of what will certainly be many in the United States of this latest variant. Dr. Fauci is discussing this latest COVID variant with all of the media. And your early read on this, Buck, is probably going to be somewhat similar to mine, which is the variant gives the Biden administration and Dr. Fauci and his stooges more opportunities to implement more restrictions, more vaccine mandates, more restrictions of all of our freedoms. That's my biggest takeaway, because we don't really know that this new variant provokes or provides any more danger than in COVID already had in the first place.
I mean, how could anybody understand, even at a very basic level, the Fauciite regime in this country and what it has done, this essentially health regime, right? I mean, this health policy,
yes,
you know, first as the most important thing in America. How could anyone see this and not think that Dr. Fauci and the response that we've had is not an enormous failure? I mean, they've said things repeatedly over and over again that are not true. Here we are being told, I mean, I actually have the official CDC tweet right in front of me. And look, I know they keep saying, oh, it changes, oh, it changes. We sit here and say, in advance of the data changing, it's going to change, and here's how, and here's why, right? And so the CDC says they've got the first confirmed case of Omicron. Obviously, you said that in California. Everyone 5 years and older should get vaccinated against COVID. Boosters are recommended for everyone 18 years and older. That's the CDC. They just put that out a few minutes ago. So we have a huge vaccine push underway right now. And they're telling everybody to get boosted. And remember, they're telling us to do this at a time when we've already seen the previous vaccination did not have the durability of protection that they said it would when it comes to infection and spread. It is good, and we have to keep saying this, otherwise, you know, Media Matters will clip this, and it says vaccines, you know, this is what they do. It is still good for protection against hospitalization and death, which is obviously very important. But if you're 25, you're not concerned about hospitalization and death from COVID. You should not be. Certainly not if you're 5 or 10.
Yes.
And so why is getting all the kids vaccinated a reasonable thing to do under these circumstances, given that their actual risk of death from COVID is something like 1 in 500,000 or whatever the actual figures, the latest figures may be? 140 kids, give or take, have died from COVID in the entire United States. So we're repeating this all over again. And the part of this that I think everyone needs to keep in mind is, Clay, how are we not going to be in the same position next year?
Yes.
How is forever. This not the way it is every year?
Some details, a bit more for those of you who are intrigued by this. The individual who was tested positive for Omicron was a traveler who returned from South Africa on November 22nd, tested positive on November 29th. This person has tested positive from South Africa, but as we have been discussing on the show, already this new variant was widespread potentially in many different European countries, certainly several of them. And it may not have even originated in South Africa. That might have just been the first place to actually detect it. And so I think it's somewhat ironic and also quite predictable that the person who has tested positive for this new variant was already double vaccinated, Buck. And so to the point that we were making earlier, I think it's important to acknowledge that so far there does appear to be significant protection from death or hospitalization for people who are vaccinated. But in terms of actually spreading this virus, there's a lot of studies out there now that are showing that the vaccine doesn't seem to restrict any more the spread of the virus than for people who are unvaccinated.
And let's just be very clear about what is being said right now. Fauci's still up there doing his Fauci routine in the White House West Wing as we're speaking to you, and we're seeing the I can see the transcript in real time, you know, the closed captioning, so I can get a sense of what he's talking about as we're discussing this. And first of all, I thought it was fascinating. There was a question, Clay, that was asked, well, if it turns out that Omicron is less, as you've pointed out, sometimes yes. viruses mutate away from, I mean, thank heavens, right? Or else what happened with the Spanish, you know, Spanish influenza? It went through a couple of cycles where it actually got worse in the second wave. And then the third wave was pretty bad. The second wave was a really bad one, but then it evolved into something else and it essentially went away, right? So it does happen that viruses can become less lethal through, and they tend to do that. So if Omicron is effectively, and I'm not saying this is the case, but the early indicators are, what if it's more akin to a bad cold, right?
Yes.
And I don't know this, but the early indicators are people have symptoms or no symptoms for a day or two so far. If it were substantially, this is the question that was posed in the West Wing. That's what I'm trying to get to here. If that is the case, that it is less dangerous, well, then why should we take all these restrictive measures to try to stop a less dangerous version of the virus from spreading pretty freely, which may then, and again, I'm essentially paraphrasing what a journalist asked in the West Wing a moment ago, wouldn't that be better than Delta, which we know can still be very dangerous to the, Fauci was like, basically said, that's crazy.
Yeah.
He's like, that's so dangerous. Nobody who knows epidemiology would ever support that. I mean, I know doctors who are epidemiologists who I think would actually say that that's an interesting, assuming the data is in showing that it's substantially less dangerous, because then you would have natural immunity from something that's much less dangerous than the Delta variant, and you'd want it to outcompete the Delta variant. It's just interesting. I bring it up, Clay, because he dismisses it outright, and they're telling us to get the shot when the reason for getting the shot is a variant that they are also telling us may, and I'm quoting, evade some of the vaccine immunity. So
it's very well said. It's a great question, and it's something that we talked about on this show. I think it's important to acknowledge, because a lot of people out there, every time they hear variant or they hear mutation, the expectation is it makes things worse. Oftentimes, actually, that cannot be true. It can make a virus much less dangerous with the mutations and the variations.
Mutation sounds scary, right? If your doctor comes in
terrifying.
With a clipboard says, we've established a mutation, you're freaked out, understandably.
Yes. 100%. And by the way, the other thing that we've been saying on this show that is going to be proven true, although it has not been officially proven true yet, Dr. Fauci was just asked if two shots is still considered fully vaccinated. He says yes, but that could change. Let me tell you, it's going to change.
100%. And what will be fascinating, and I just want to bookmark this, Clay, this part of the discussion, because this will go in that big bin of Clay and Buck were right?
Yes.
And remember, you thought, if I remember correctly, and we could always go back to the transcript, you were very concerned in July when Delta first was coming out, and I was like, well, let's see. Turned out Delta / vaccine failure together
was a bad deal.
You know, what created a huge surge in cases that we suffered through the, and then it was, how is this happening? And it was, well, is it vaccines losing efficacy? Is there something else? Is it a mutation? What's causing this? Right now, I think we can look forward and pretty reasonably understand and this goes in the Clay and Buck are right bin, assuming that we're right on this one. The same way that there is now a culture of disdain from the top of the U.S. government for the unvaccinated, that will be transposed onto the unboosted. Just wait till January, folks. All of a sudden, it'll be, why aren't you getting the booster? What's wrong with you? Why don't you care about people? Why do you want grandparents to die? You know, et cetera, the whole thing all over again. Right now, they'll say, we would never do that. The booster's a choice. Let's see where we are in, you know, middle of January when it comes to boosters, because this is just their mentality, man. It's never enough. You never mask up enough. You never get enough shots. You never... I mean, have we stopped the virus with all the things we've already done right now? Look at the numbers.
No, we failed in every aspect. And that's why you're talking about the summer as Delta started to rise up. You looked at the data in England. You looked at the data in Israel. And you said, this is ominous, right? That's the conversation that we were having. Right now, as we've been doing the show, Vermont, which is one of the most vaccinated states in the entire country, just hit an all-time high for COVID hospitalizations. And the reason why I want to bring up a state like Vermont, we got a lot of listeners in Vermont, we appreciate you guys, is because they're doing everything that the Biden White House has told us we have to do to protect ourselves, and they're still setting an all-time high right now as we speak for hospitalizations and COVID infection.
Can I also ask this? I mean, and I mean this, if we have an epidemiologist out there, maybe, you know, you can call in. Please don't call in and say you're an epidemiologist when you're actually like a holistic practitioner of, you know, something. But like, if we have somebody who's epi, because I want to know, I mean, how much more infectious are we even really talking? They've already told us that Delta can essentially be spread in aerosolized form through casual contact. I remember, because I was making fun of how stupid the test and trace program was in June of 2020 in New York City. By the way, another Buck Was Right column. And because it was absurd, right? But they were saying you had to be in close contact with someone for 6 to 12 minutes to get infected. Close contact, confined space, 6 to 12 minutes. That was pre-Delta. Then Delta comes along and they say, oh my gosh, casual contact, aerosolized. I mean, is this... How much more transmissible could Omicron really? By the way, I asked that question. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a great question.
But it starts to sound like, I mean, is it like a heat-seeking virus missile? Like it's going to go through air vents and find people? I mean, you start to wonder how much more transmissible than Delta could it even really be? And then you also get into Fauci saying, I mean, I couldn't believe this. You know, I'm a J&J recipient here, Clay. 2 months after the shot, I'm supposed to get boosted? I mean, they've got to be kidding me. That's what he says. Now they'll say you're eligible. Okay, well, you know, if I'm somebody that's really scared and wants to avoid it, which I'm not, and I'm not getting boosted, what the heck is that? A 60-day vaccine? You're kidding me.
There was an interesting study that I was reading. It wasn't a study. It was just kind of a synopsis of how this Omicron had spread. They found two different guys who ended up getting the virus that never came in contact with each other, quarantining in a hotel on opposite sides of the hallway. So to answer your question on... How transmissible could this be if those guys are representative of that overall transmissibility? In other words, you're quarantining in your room. He's quarantining in his room. These are two doctors on opposite sides of the hallway. They both ended up testing positive. They never came in contact with each other. They only opened their door to be given food. So it was airborne, moving somehow through the ventilation system from one hotel room to another.
Clay, they didn't mask up between bites. That's what you were leaving out of this equation.
That's what happened. That's a great point.
I've said it before, and it's still true. Owning gold is all about protection. You want to protect the value of your hard-earned dollars sitting in your savings account. When everything around you is suddenly more expensive, from a gallon of gas to the house sold down the street, the value of your dollars is shrinking. Buying gold as a part of your savings plan stabilizes that and protects your savings account. And there's a newer benefit, too, and that's being able to take physical possession of the gold you buy, having it delivered to your home and holding it in your hands before you safely store it away. It's a life event. Let's call it that. Our friends at the Oxford Gold Group make all that happen. They did it for me and for tens of thousands of others this year. So if you think buying real gold is complicated, my friends at the Oxford Gold Group are who you need to call. Having real gold delivered to your home or having real gold as part of your IRA is just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Call them at 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. That's the Oxford Gold Group at 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-GOLD.
The answer is yes, because you know that the new regulation, if you want to call it that, is that anybody and everybody who's coming into the country needs to get a test within 24 hours of getting on the plane to come here.
Well, what about people who don't take a plane and just these border crossers coming in huge numbers?
You know, that's a different issue. For example, when you talk, we still have Title 42 with regard to protection at the border. So there are protections at the border that you don't have the capability, as you know, of somebody getting on a plane, getting checked, looking at a passport. We don't have that there, but we can get some degree of mitigation.
Is there something to do to test these people somewhere else?
There is testing at the border under certain circumstances, as you know.
Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. Notice Fauci doing the tap dance there kind of have everybody tested before they come into the U.S. or after they enter the U.S., depending. Except at the southern border, all of a sudden it turns into blah, blah, et cetera, under some circumstances, Title 42. Clay, I know Border Patrol agents. I'm in contact with people down at the border. And guess what? They're not testing everybody at the border for COVID. They're certainly not vaccinating everybody at the border who wants to come into the country right now. So that's one part of it. And yet again, you have Fauci showing everybody what he's really about, who he's really about. And he also declined to comment on New York's decision, which I mentioned earlier in the show today, to postpone elective surgeries. The quote was, "I really don't want to comment on situations in individual states because there are so many factors from state to state that are different," end quote. Anyone who doesn't see this guy as a political hack is willfully blind.
Well, it's ironic that he would try to use that line because he has ripped states like Florida and Texas,
yep,
which have made decisions that are uniquely grounded in what's going on inside of their states. And also, Buck, I just want to make it clear for everybody out there to understand how much of a hypocrite Fauci is on the border in particular when it comes to testing. What's going on right now under these new rules is if you and your family go down to Mexico, you go to Cabo, you go to Cozumel, you go to Cancun, maybe you go on a cruise. In order to come back into the country from Mexico, for instance, you have to prove that you don't have COVID. You are an American citizen. You are having to test. If you sneak across the border illegally and enter into this country, there is no requirement whatsoever that you be tested. Similarly, if you are working at a place with over 100 employees, Joe Biden is saying you have to be vaccinated. We are mandating it. But if you are one of these illegal immigrants coming into the country, there's no requirement whatsoever for you to be vaccinated. There's no mandate in place for you. So we're talking about American citizens being put through expectations, protocols, hurdles that we're not even requiring illegal immigrants to follow through. It seems backward. If you were going to be honest in your policies, wouldn't you want non-citizens to have more stringent requirements than citizens?
I mean, yeah, of course. And also, we all know that they don't know, and they admit they don't know what the reality of Omicron is in terms of transmissibility and lethality. So how is it reasonable to block hospital surgeries, elective surgeries, Amen, right now? It's absolutely not reasonable. It's a panic move. But Fauci, folks, if nothing else, he's a bureaucrat and a coward. He always has been.
It's time for you to save a lot of money out there. How about $12,000? How much could an extra $1,000 a month mean to you and your family? How much could being able to skip a couple of mortgage payments, maybe at the end of the year, to get your financial house in order? Holidays around the corner, everybody's trying to save money. You're probably going to end up spending more than you anticipated. How about putting your financial house in order right now with a great new mortgage through American Financing? You can call American Financing at 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109, or you can visit AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org, and you can save a bundle. Get your phones in your hands right now. This is easy. I want you to save $12,000 before the new year begins. Call American Financing, 800-777-8109, 800-777-8109. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Frenzy of news today of a variety of interesting perspectives. We've got the abortion case, Mississippi, 15 weeks. What is going to be the legal standard for abortion in the country? Is Roe v. Wade and Casey, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, going to be overturned? Are they? We talked with Shannon Bream in hour two. We probably will not know the answer to that question until, according to her, late June. But the questions and the discussion today, approaching 2 hours in duration, was fascinating if you are at all intrigued by what the law is surrounding abortion. We have the first case of Omicron in the United States. It's been found in California, per Dr. Fauci, and it's been found in an individual go figure, that had already been double vaccinated. And so how widely will that spread? That individual had traveled from South Africa on November 22nd, tested positive for this new variant of the virus on November 29th. That has been, both of those stories, a major point of discussion surrounding the case. Fauci answered a lot of questions about what exactly full vaccination is going to be considered. And that is worth discussing as well. But Buck, I want to hit a couple of things here that I think are significant about what's going on. There was a shooting in Michigan. And if you remember, three kids were killed. There's a lot of attention every time that there is a shooter. We got a lot of listeners in Michigan. This is Oxford, Michigan, my wife's home county of Oakland County. And I want to make sure that we always on this show give credit, credence to the people who are heroes and are standing up and defending others. And there was a kid in Oxford, Michigan, Buck, named Tate Meyer. He was a standout high school football player and wrestler. He charged the kid, this 15-year-old who was shooting at the school, was killed himself in the process, defending other students inside of his school. I don't believe in typically sharing mass shooters' names, because especially in the school settings, it seems that the data reflects that encourages kids to do that because they want the attention, they want the infamy. But I do believe that all of us should, when we have the opportunity, stand up and salute those of us, particularly young kids, 16-year-old Tate Meyer. Credit to his family, credit to him for combating this shooter, saving lives, and putting his own life at risk. Buck, I know you feel the same way. I feel oftentimes we focus too much on people who have done wrong and not enough on the true heroes among us. So thank you to Tate Meyer from Oxford, Michigan, for what he did in an incredibly difficult situation at his school yesterday.
And I just see here there is breaking news, Clay, on that case, that the suspect, who is 15 years old, so we I don't think we know his name. They're keeping his name secret, because he's a minor. He's been charged with one count of terrorism and four counts of first-degree murder just now. That has been breaking news last couple of moments in the Michigan school shooting. I totally agree with you, by the way, though, on the heroism. And those are names that we should know, the people that actually, amen, in that moment of sheer terror and malevolence, decided to hold the line, decided that they would stand up and do what they could to try to save lives. And in many instances, even if the person there tragically is, gives their life in that process, it's hard to even gauge how many other lives may have been saved, even by slowing a shooter down, even by changing their calculation or their thinking. So bravery in those moments should always be something that we remember and that we honor.
And for those of you who are active on social media, I started doing this years ago because of the data. I try not to share school shooter names. I don't think we should really do it on this show, be my position, my argument, because the data has reflected that many of those school shooters are motivated by their desire for infamy. So it's a 15-year-old kid, but I do want to share the bravery of people who are standing up to them. Another bit of bravery that I wanted to hit, Buck, and this news just came down. The WTA, the Women's Tennis Association, they have pulled all of their events from China over this women's tennis player in China who accused a prominent Communist Party official of sexual assault. They then basically scrubbed her from all existence in China. This is an incredibly brave and strong stand, particularly with the Winter Olympics scheduled for Beijing in a couple of months. The WTA has done what the NBA was unwilling to do, and they have pulled all of their events out of China over the Communist Party decision to basically hide, disappear this woman who had accused a prominent Communist Party official of sexual assault. So both of those stories have come down in the last little bit. I wanted to make sure that we mentioned both.
It's momentous because you really don't see a lot of companies. In fact, what you see is, in a very different direction, Google and some of the tech giants,
no doubt, Apple,
will refuse to, say, work with the U.S. military on artificial intelligence or defense contracts that have to do with defending America, but then they'll bow down and do whatever they have to do to get access to China. We see the opposite happening on a regular basis of what we'd like to see, which is people standing up to China. They'll criticize American policy, and American companies will have a problem with what we do. But very rarely do you see anyone who's willing to risk the bottom line here. So, I mean, credit to the WTA and maybe other organizations, companies, multinationals will say it is time to hold China to account on this stuff, because, you know, the same way that China throws its weight around and goes after places based on their bottom line, they also can be pushed, and there are pressures that can be brought to bear. So the Chinese Communist Party, yeah, it's not going to be a flourishing Jeffersonian democracy tomorrow, but it could be a better place than it is.
And did you see what Disney did on the opposite side? They pulled a Simpsons episode out of Hong Kong that referenced Tiananmen Square. So the Simpsons had a "We Go to China and Visit" episode, and they had referenced the fact that that had been scrubbed from everywhere in China. Disney, on their new Disney Plus service, does not allow you to watch that episode in Hong Kong, which is the exact opposite of what the WTA is doing, being willing to stand up and speak out, speak truth to power. Speaking of speaking truth to power, how about Mike Lindell? He doesn't care what anyone says about him. He's going to say exactly what he believes. He's going to speak his truth. And he also has got an incredible company. And right now, Mike Lindell is offering MyPillows, the ones that started it all, lowest price ever. You can get a standard MyPillow for $19.98. They're originally $69.98. That's a $50 savings with the promo code Clay and Buck. King Pillow, only $10 more. And right now, there's a money-back guarantee until March 1st of next year, so you have no risk at all. Buck, how do you get hooked up?
So easy, folks. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Specials, and enter promo code Clay and Buck, or call 800-792-3269 for these great radio specials. Again, that's MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Specials and enter promo code Clay and Buck, or you can just call 800-792-3269. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but rotating discounts on 150-plus MyPillow products, the Giza Dream Sheets, the Mattress Topper Slippers, and more. Go check it out today.
You have a vaccine mandate,
right?
At what point does the booster become part of the mandate?
Yeah, I can't answer that right now, but I know that for the time being, the official definition of fully vaccinated is two.
You see that changing? We keep having these variants. We're concerned about them.
It could change. Yes.
I think it almost certainly will change. Welcome back to Clay and Buck Show.
How much money would you put on that, Buck? If you had to put dollars on the fact that it will change to fully vaccinated, including being required to have a booster to be fully vaccinated,
I'd throw down some cash. I'd throw down a new electric scooter over that one, my friend. I'd throw down some cash on that one.
Hey, look. By the way, what happened to your scooter? We've hinted at this a couple of times.
So I was out to dinner for my brother's birthday. We had a little birthday dinner. Got some great steaks in Midtown. We're on a very busy block. I had my little electric scooter. Why? I don't know. Sometimes it's fun to ride that thing around. Do you look like a nerd on it? Yes, absolutely.
Are you on the sidewalk or like in the bike lane?
No, there's bike lanes. So you just fly. I mean, it's actually faster than taking a car through Midtown, because you just go through the bike lane. And some people maybe don't necessarily obey the traffic laws, so they'll go through red lights if there's no cars. I don't do that, of course, because that's unsafe. But I'm just saying it was there. We were at dinner not that long. You know, it was like an hour and 15 minutes. Had it locked up, and somebody scooted, cut it?
Like, do you have any idea
with my
how
scooter?
They...
I think, no, the lock was still engaged. I think what they managed to do is sometimes they'll take either the handle off of it, or they'll just sort of keep, you know, trying to manipulate the, because it's kind of
shaking
a,
it until almost, you're able
yeah,
to get
like
it.
Yeah, it's almost like a chain situation. It's kind of this rubber hose that's, you know, meant to keep people from stealing your. Anyway, my scooter's gone, but I wasn't going to use
it
in the winter.
What does a scooter cost? I have no idea.
I mean, this scooter was like less than $300, something.
Would you use it like in the winter, or is it too cold?
Too cold. So that's why I was like, all right, fine. You know, I pictured some guy escaping, going 7 miles per hour, just his teeth chattering from how cold he was on the scooter. You know, that's
now,
right.
Here's my other question. You're at a restaurant, a steakhouse. I'm assuming it's a decent place, right? Is that what you said, steakhouse?
It was great,
Could they have a video footage of your scooter and be able to like actually investigate?
It was actually right under where a hotel that clearly had video footage of it, because they had cameras pointing out toward the street. And I went in to talk to security, and they said, well, you have to go to the police and file a police report and then come here, and then the police can tell. And I was like, it's footage of the sidewalk, guys. I'm not asking you to show me even internal stuff. They wouldn't do it. So, because I was just curious at that point.
But, yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming it's somebody who has a mask
has
on, because that's not a particularly. So, I mean, what do you, you know, they're not going to have their best guys working around the clock on this one. The case of the missing, you know, scooter.
It's unlikely that they took your scooter and immediately put it in a car where you could see, for instance, a license plate and be like, oh, maybe they're idiots enough to do that.
Well, this is what people actually, they'll take a, you know, a van or a truck, as I've been told, and they'll just go around and they'll break bike locks and break now scooters. Scooters in New York weren't legal until recently, these electric scooters. Now they're everywhere. And also people have these, kind of like a wheel that you'll stand on. I can't really describe it very well. It's like a high-tech unicycle thing. People fly on those, which to me is even more terrifying. But they just legalized electric scooters in New York in the last year, so they're all over the place now. And yeah, the scooter's gone, man. It was a sad day for the Bucks.
Now I gotta walk. Scooter.
I have to walk like a civilian. I'm no longer part of the scooter elite.
I've seen the scooter in the background. It's kind of sad for me, too.
You know, now I have to just walk around like a normal person. So it is what it is. But you know what? Honestly, everyone kept saying, do you wear a helmet? And I would touch my swoop of hair and say, this is my helmet. And they stopped thinking it was funny about like the 10th time. And then also I was like, maybe I should wear a helmet. And then you look for me. Then I would, of course, by the way, I wear a helmet all the time because I'm safety first guy here. And I wear two masks. So, you know, public safety message, wear your helmet on your scooter.
I've never been on one of those scooters.
Do it, you know, yeah, neither here nor there. Sal in Melbourne, Pennsylvania is going to save us on this one. Sal, what's up?
Guys, I'm told by the screen I should be quick, but I want to tell you I love the show, and you honor this time slot. Okay, without getting to the credentials, 2 points. Number one is, okay, viruses that are respiratory never go away. That's why we've had the common code for hundreds of years. That's why influenza, every year there's another version of it. They constantly mutate. You will never eradicate them, okay? In general, though, when they replicate, as long as they're not engineered, they tend to be less viral, okay? They are spread more, but they come less viral, and I'm told at the top of the hour you maybe even said something like that. The second point is that this narrative that the world is at risk of dying from this in general, the general population, that's another myth, and that narrative has really been controlled to scare everyone into us. That's the Fauci and his nauseating speeches talk about that. You know, it's killing a generally small part of the population, and you know, you start looking into, you know, root causes of the deaths, and you realize maybe it's not as many as we think. So kind of curious what you guys think about those two comments.
It squares with a lot of what we've said. We don't pretend to be epidemiologists, but what Buck and I think we do a pretty good job of is looking at the data and sharing it with you as honestly and transparently as we can, and that's what we try to do every single day
on the show. Yeah, I mean, we're always just collecting what is being said by experts, what the numbers that everyone agrees are the official numbers, at least, what they're telling us, but also on a policy level, I mean, this is where I think people often get confused. They say, well, you have to listen to Fauci. Well, Fauci can tell you what the, you know, well, actually, with this stuff, Omicron right now can't tell you very much at all about the numbers, but he can say this is how many infections. This is, you know, where we think it's spread. But when it comes to should we shut down schools, that's a political question.
That's right.
They give you the information. And then we have people that are, you know, in elected office that make determinations about balancing whether your kids should be in school. You know, this is what's been lost here. Is the notion of an expert class that is essentially a deciding mechanism unto itself. That's not the way our system is supposed to work. And because we've ceded so much territory to those individuals and to what I call the apparatus or Fauciism, what we've seen is that there's no accountability because they'll just do things. And then when we say, hold on a second, that's not what you said or you are wrong, they turn around and say, well, now we're telling you to do something else. Shut up, peasant. I mean, that's basically what we've been dealing with Fauci for almost 2 years now.
It's so well said, because what we effectively elect people for, in theory, should be their ability to make decisions. And instead of saying, oh, this person is a scientific expert, I'm going to do exactly what they say, a person who is using sound judgment would analyze multiple competing experts, right? Because the idea that there is one scientific gold standard for every single decision is the antithesis of science. Science is about rigorous debate. Hear all of those debates and then make a choice on a political perspective. And by the way, Buck, then allow us to determine whether or not they made the right decision. That's the point of electoral politics. If you have unelected bureaucrats like Dr. Fauci driving all of the decisions that are being made, we don't really have any ability to render a verdict on Fauci. That's what's so terrifying to me about the power that he has. Whether you like Joe Biden or like Donald Trump or like whoever the president is or your senator or your congressperson, you have the ability to weigh in every couple of years in an election. What can we do to hold Dr. Fauci accountable for his poor decision?
And the really awful part of this as well is that the politicians, because they've ceded the authority, they just say, oh, I'm just doing what Fauci tells
me. That's right.
We're just doing what the experts say. And then people go, oh, well, I can't hold you accountable because you're just doing what the experts say. And the experts look at us and say, we're the experts. What are you going to do about it? So that's not the way the system's supposed to work on policy decisions. And let's just see. I'm hopeful that the whole world, I think we could say, is just hopeful that Omicron is not particularly, considerably less dangerous and less transmissible. We'll find that out in the next couple of weeks. But in the meantime, Clay, we did a lot today on the Supreme Court oral arguments on the Mississippi abortion restriction, that law. Tomorrow we have Governor Tate of Mississippi joining us here on the show. We're looking forward to that interview.
Tate Reeves, and I would even say, Buck, there's a connection there between Fauciites and what happened with abortion in the same way, because when the Supreme Court sweeps in and makes a political decision, one of the reasons why the fight becomes so contentious is because people can't make their own choices because judges did it instead. We'll talk about all that and more tomorrow. Governor Tate Reeves will join us in Mississippi. Thanks for hanging with us on the Clay and Buck Show.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.